Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did we all successfully clap?
It's been a long time since we've had to do a remote recording, hasn't it? So let's just hope for the best.
Welcome. I've been clapping for years, self-taught. I've been clapping for, decades. I'm nearly 40, as my children are addicted to reminding me at the moment. And I'm like, I'm actually even not. Like, chill out.
Chill, man.
And I've been throwing you under the bus, anyway? Jen, every chance I get. I'm like, you want to see nearly 40? Yeah. Jen's nearly 40, guys.
Welcome to the Creep Hive. This is a remote recording because it's Easter and it's what Jesus would have wanted. I hope everybody's delighted that he, in fact, has risen.
Jesus. Can I ask a quick question? And that is, Jen, why are you wearing sunglasses inside your own home?
It's because of the, it's very bright in here. So I thought to myself, pair of sunnies, good to go. Satisfied?
She has that much coveted south-facing aspect.
Of
I thought
course.
You were about to shame me for moisturizing on the call.
Oh, no, I would never.
I've gone kind of reptilian, kind of scaly with the change of season.
Wexford has that effect, I think.
It's very drying.
It's a dry county. It's one of the driest.
I think it's my children, actually.
It's them leaking the moisture out of you from moaning.
Notoriously so. So what are we packing? What have we got?
Well, I've got a series. I've got a very interesting experiment called the Philip Experiment. And I'm in the world of seances. I also have a number of creeps of the week.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay, let's go for that. I have a death by iced latte.
Oh, oh my God. Oh. Tis the season as well.
Tis the season.
Okay. Since we're talking beverages, it might be time to show
oh,
you.
Oh, she's a basic.
Fucking God, Jen.
You absolute
delete
basic.
TikTok. Delete it.
You're too old for that thing.
No, I tell you
it's
what.
It's so large.
I would never.
Okay, so she's
never.
Holding up
a Stanley
the
Cup.
But not any Stanley Cup, the Stanley Cup. We all know it.
What's it inside? All I know is like it's 40 ounces because all the Americans on TikTok have them make their...
It has the straw. It's got the handle. It's in a kind of a mint color.
It's in a sage
green. You didn't
even
get that in TK Maxx. She ordered that online, didn't you?
I tell you where I got it and I couldn't recommend it more. A little company called DH Gate.
Oh, it's
so what you're looking
real
at there
Stanley.
Is a fake Stanley Cup.
That is somehow even worse.
Your Stanley Cup just got more pathetic. Oh my God.
It is. You went to a Chinese wholesaling superstore to purchase a reusable mug that is supposed to help the environment. And do you feel like you have...
Look, I'm sitting in my kitchen with my sunglasses on, drinking out of my fake cup. So I'd say...
Because global warming is a fucking issue.
Look, we're all going down. We're going down the river. Here, by the way.
Jen, I'm sorry, but you are 22 years too old for that cup. Like all of the ones on TikTok are like fetuses with their cups.
And
it's a young person's game, Jen. And like,
please,
I don't want to join Cassie on Team Troll, but you're too old.
Talk to me, Jen. Just talk to me for a
second.
Cassie,
I couldn't be happier. A DH gate.
Dumbest bitch I've ever come across.
I got big dumb bitch energy. Do you know who else has big dumb bitch energy this week? Amazon. So I don't know why I thought you stuttered.
But you're going to say Jesus. And I was like, look, Jesus, who among us hasn't understood in the group chat that they're about to be betrayed?
Listen. Do you have
I feel like
to remember?
It's such a kind of messy bitch response to then die just because someone was mean to you. She's a fucking
narcissist.
Yeah. She's big main character energy, Jesus. She needs to calm down in the words of Tay Tay.
So anyway, do you want to talk about a little creep of the week?
Yeah, go on. Tell us about Amazon.
Do you happen to remember their amazing, they had 24 stores that they were just walk out. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. This is brilliant. Yeah. This is fantastic.
I, along with everybody in the universe, thought that this was some super duper technology whereby as you entered the product into your basket, it immediately took the money out of your bank account somehow. Well, fool me once. Because that's in fact not at all what was happening. So just this week, Amazon said, do you know what we're doing, lads? We're phasing out that thing. And we'll tell you why. And the reason is they were paying 1,000 people in India to watch us, people who were shopping in that just walk out shop, right? So 1,000 low paid people in India, just your average Sharon and Stevens, watching people walk around Amazon stores and manually do the checkouts. So the cashiers were just in India. So they were like, we can't do this anymore. We're closing it down. Meanwhile, everyone thought we were living in the future. We, in fact, we're not. So that's sad. For them.
I don't understand. So they were watching people walk around a shop in a different country to them.
So there was loads of cameras. So the idea, I guess, was that there was like some sort of super hi-fi technology in the cameras that could see what you're putting in your basket and then connect that to the checkout so that when you left, you were being charged appropriately. But what it actually was people manually doing it. Now, the idea is that like apparently tech companies usually do this where they're like, just testing to see if there's an appetite for this kind of weird world stuff. And what they learned in the Amazon Fresh stores was that no, there absolutely isn't. But like, had they never come across a super scanner? Like the super scanner is fun. You just go in, you scan your little bits and you take that to the till. Why do you need the cameras?
Currently three ways of checking out in Tesco. Yeah, you got your super scanner for the nonsense. Then you've got your checkout yourself for the normies. And then you've got the lonely people who want to talk to a human individual who go to the manned checkout. Why do we need so many ways when all we want to do is shoplift? And that requires nothing at all in and out.
It requires a pram. They're great for shoplifting, I have to say.
So what that Amazon Fresh store really was offering was the shoplifting experience, the thrill of it, which I definitely support.
Yeah, I guess.
I had a fundamental lapse in understanding of that story. And I thought that like people were shopping in this walkout Amazon store, but okay, I took it to a stupid place. I thought that like the people who were manually watching the shopping take place were watching what was being bought and then scrambling to get the item from a warehouse to the shop.
I think I'll you're sort of correct. Shut up, so, Sophie. No, I think you might be partially correct. So they weren't kind of getting the physical item, but they were probably scanning for the barcode of the item the person had picked up. There was just this manual element to it that everyone was like, well, this isn't the future. Do you want to hear another funny thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a funny tweet. And it wasn't by me, but it was just a one-liner, but I'll give you the backstory. So picture this. A tweet by this guy called Roy at Bad Wool 9. One of the greatest lies ever told. So this story bypassed me completely. Ever hear of a Conservative MP called David Warburton?
No, can't say no. That I have.
Me neither. Is he in English?
He's in English. And 2 years ago...
That's possibly why I have.
Two years ago, he was suspended from his Conservative Party pending an outcome of a investigation because he'd been doing some pretty naughty things. And by naughty, I mean sexually assaulty.
Jesus.
So that's quite a bit worse, in fact, than the word naughty would lead you to believe. Then, didn't he say to himself, I would like to be photographed while doing the naughty. And no. He had himself photo taken. He's sitting what at a kind small of dinner table and he's got his elbow up like this and he has an upturned baking dish and he has several lines of what appears to be cocaine.
Oh.
Do you know what he said? This was his excuse. All right. This is from The Guardian. So in a statement posted on social media, the Tory MP claims that the substance, hang on, I'll just let him say it himself. I have for some years now relieved stress by brushing dandruff from my shoulders into a small pile that I keep in my kitchen.
No.
Wait,
no.
There's more. I accept this is uncommon, but it's not illegal. It's just
not like cocaine.
It's just a peculiar habit, not so differently really from biting your nails. Is that not the most wonderful, silly excuse you've ever heard in your life?
Did he run that by anyone? Did obviously nobody not say to him, sir, it seems like the amount of cocaine versus the amount of dandruff that one would expect to have. There's a disparity there, a big gap.
And then when the dandruff has come down to his shoulders and down on the table, why would you cut it into lines?
And re-ingest it.
I'd like rack her up and then re-ingest it. Why are you, for what particular reason at all would that be? Nobody knows.
That's like, so funny.
There's so many better like options in terms of excuse. Like he could literally have been like, I am a biohacking bro and yeah, I snort my supplements. Like everyone get off my back. I love health. I am health. You know,
I'm just a protein.
The man doesn't even have that much fucking hair.
That's why it's falling freely on his shoulders. There's no hair for it to become
trimmed. There's a lot of strainer. Scalp. A lot of scalp.
Speaking of biohacking bros, did we all read the Andrew Huberman article?
No. Tell us everything.
I actually just don't even know if I have the energy to tell us everything. I'll give you a TLDR.
Okay.
So, I mean, but I did read it and it is a good read. And I'm trying to remember where I read it. I think I read it in the New York Times or the Times of New York or the TTNYC or the Cut or New York Magazine. Ah, that's it. In the Intelligencer, which I think is a part of New York Magazine. Mm-hmm. So Andrew Huberman, not even sure if I'm getting his name right. Might just check. No relation to our own national treasure, Amy. And basically, he is a scientist and he's a neuroscientist and also a good looking fella. And as we know, with men, That is all you need. Truly.
Great success.
And what else do you need if you're a good looking fella who's a neuroscientist?
Whiteness.
A hit podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Of course.
Of course. And so he's a Stanford professor who, like, from according to the article, doesn't really go near Stanford, like physically near Stanford at all. So it's kind of like, is he like a Stanford professor at large? Is that a thing? He's become massively famous from his podcast. And the podcast is called Huberman Lab. And he has like been a guest on other massive podcasts like the Joe Rogan, Jen, your pal. Mm-hmm. Who's that lad? Is it Lex Friedman, who's also one of the biggest podcasters in the world? Yeah, he's been on that. And like, he's there.
He's like a gentle
talking
Rogan.
Science word salad for, you know, upwards of 2 hours on the podcast, occasionally with the input of other humans, but not necessarily needed, as we know. There's so many men solo hosting podcasts. It's actually such a fascinating flex, isn't it?
Because they don't have any fucking friends.
A lot to say.
It's like they also, they just believe their own viewpoint to be so, so unimpeachable and entertaining and perfect that like they're like, nah, I don't need any input, you know? And like, how many women are just solo hosting podcasts?
Zero, I'd say.
It's like literally, I can't think of a one at all. And it seems like the odd time I've listened to a solo hosted podcast,
Red Room,
I find them quite boring. Sorry, who?
Jenny Red Room.
Jenny Claffey.
Yeah, she's doing a solo number. Fair balls.
Oh, fuck. Fuck you now. What? Saying that before I'd heard you and I announced I find them quite boring.
No, but there are none. You just
threw me under the bus. Completely. This is like,
I didn't know you were saying that at the same time I was saying something.
I was on a rant about how crap solo hosted podcast.
Edit it out. Take it away.
Nah, don't leave it in. Sure, they know we're real people with, like, you know,
we're on this side
problematic views. Listen, Jenny is great, and I love that podcast.
Yeah, no, you definitely didn't say that after you'd heard what I said.
Do you know what this is reminding me of? This is reminding me of one time I was on a panel. So in front of an audience of about 300 people, and it was, the panel was mostly taking place in French, and I had a earpiece with a translator who was sitting in the room translating into English for me. The three other authors on the panel were all fluently speaking in French to each other, and I was on a lag of about 20 seconds, maybe 10. Like
the laughter,
the real-time
the laughter lag.
Yeah, so basically the real-time translator was like, she was incredible, like translating at speed, but it still led to several instances of me appearing to be laughing at suicide and things like that. Because I'd be laughing at a joke, conversation would rapidly move on. I'd realize then seconds later that I'd laughed at suicide. It was so stressful.
That's awful.
That is just really doesn't seem like something that would work well for a live environment.
No. Well, I mean, yeah. Anyway, so Andrew Huberman.
Oh, yeah. Give us
massive, massive success, has earned loads of money in the last kind of 4 years, kind of since he really took off. He's full of like absolute bullshit. He's supposed to be worth about like 5 million, maybe, which is plenty for just your job being sitting alone in a room with yourself and just smelling your own farts. He's full of like, you have to like buy health hacking and biohacking, and he's fucking obsessed with just being healthy, which is so weird. Like, just get on with it and live.
It is kind of really boring. It's dream chat. Someone sort of telling you their health activities.
Yeah, like I find it sometimes so interesting. But like, his health activity is like, get some sunlight in the mornings. Wake up and get some sunlight. And A, fuck off. Try living in Ireland.
Yeah.
B, not optional. I don't know. Anyway, in the article, it turns out that this guy who was like, you know, he's also just like really selling himself as this incredibly enlightened guy. He's into the neuroscience, so he's into the kind of real kind of granular of our brain responses, talks about mental health, talks about everything, and is an authority on everything. Although, like, critics say that, like, anytime he veers even fractionally outside of his narrow field of expertise, he is kind of like wrong, deeply wrong a lot of the time. And he is, for all intents and purposes, like, presenting himself to be this incredibly evolved man. And then this article basically unearthed a web of cheating on romantic partners that is quite spectacular. He had, like, the article starts with an interview with someone who's going by the name of Sarah for the purposes of anonymity. And it's all about, like, well, A, it sounds like he was quite a controlling, like, weird partner. And then it also just turns out that he was also seeing, like, six other women in quite an intense, like, way. Like,
sorry, seven women total.
Now, that is so, there's only 7 days of the week, lads.
And, like, they were all in different locations. Like, sometimes he was, like, seeing one in the morning, flying to a nearby city, seeing another. Like, and the, like,
when did he get time to sit down for 3 hours and talk about himself?
Exactly.
Well, some of the other people in his life have been like, he's notably flaky. And it's like, of course he's flaky. He's got all these, like, incredibly time-sensitive dates to keep. And, like, he, like, at one point, so he was having a kind of, like, hookup relationship with one woman, and then she heard an interview with him on a podcast where he said he had a girlfriend, and she was like, have a girlfriend?
Oh
no. She was like, well, I'm not your girlfriend, so who's your girlfriend? And he was like, oh no, the girlfriend is just someone that, like, my PR team came up with, because what I actually have is a stalker, and so we're saying I have a girlfriend to try and put off the stalker. So the excuses were insane. But also, like, the level of, like, fucking deception and betrayals, like, sick making. So, like, one of them, he had started a program of IVF with her.
Oh, and no.
Was literally, like, injecting her on, like, a camping trip. They went on a camping trip, and, like, those medications need to be kept at a specific temperature and all this kind of stuff. Like, and it feels like he kind of was pushing the camping trip for health, and they had the medications in a cooler, and he was injecting her, and then he was, like, texting some other girl about how their connection just meant so much to him. Like,
I do not understand this on a cellular level. What is the benefit? How much places does your dick need to go all at the same time? Why are they driven
every
like
day
this?
Of the week? Like, yeah.
But also, if you read the piece, like, the thing that stood out most to me was, like, all right, yeah, fuck loads of people. Like, if that's what you're thing, like, if that's who you are,
sure.
If that's who you are, either be upfront with it. Like, people nowadays, like, you can find people who are fine with you.
Oh my God.
Like,
everyone
not being exclusive.
Is ethically non-monogamous.
Yeah. But, like, his little freaking peccadillo was, like, being all like, I'm evolved man, I have a soul connection with you, I just so deeply feel that we are at one, soul to soul. Like, the texts, they were so vom, like, no Irish man could ever pull it off. But it was just so weird. It's such a weird thing.
Like, at all by this? Like, do Gen Pop or whoever are listening to his shit, do they care that he's a womanizer? I mean, is that bad to them?
His whole thing is, like, keeping men accountable, isn't it? Like, he's not just this health freak. He is about, like, you know, the new man. And
oh yeah, he's that most toxic thing, the male feminist. Like,
oh dear.
It's so funny.
In a repeal jumper. Stay
exactly.
Eyes alert.
Exactly. So yeah, like, there's loads of people in the comments of the piece being like, Well, obviously, just like straight in with the misogyny, attacking the woman who wrote the piece, who was a big fan of the Huberman Lab, and then attacking all the women who were in the piece. And so that's obviously predictable and boring.
Like, but, what do they do wrong? They're just jealous.
They just have a vagina.
Yeah, I guess you're just supposed to put up.
You don't need anything else to be so deeply hateable and dehumanized and pathetic. But yeah, loads of people are kind of like, who cares? Like, this is his private life. But like Cassie said, I think it's because it's so at odds with this image that he has just been like athletically building and maintaining for years. And it's like with all these people, we just find time and again, like the people who are the most intent on you believing them to be so good and
righteous,
so like evolved, and they're always the most Catholic Church. So
like why? Like, go, like, how about, I think that like any man when they try to purchase a microphone should be made sit through 10 therapy sessions before they're allowed to speak to the public.
No, because the men go to therapy and they just learn better how to be horrendous.
There's a great song on Spotify called Stop Giving Men Microphones, and it's well worth a listen. It's remarkable.
But the last bit of the piece is actually quite nice. And it's basically that all the women started to find each other through different means, like kind of on social media and stuff like that. Like there's,
and now they
like,
have like one of the women together. Is
sorry.
And now they have slumber parties together.
Yeah, they have a group chat and they're doing a meetup this fall. One of the women is like a Hollywood actress. I'm dying to know who. And described as like quite successful, quite
well known.
Interesting.
You know. I'm sure we could find that. I'm sure they'll get onto Demois. Keep an eye on
Demois. And they now, like one of them has HPV now.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, that is, it is. I mean, lots of people have HPV. There's nothing wrong with having HPV, but
totally.
But there is something wrong with
doesn't
passing
have HPV,
it around.
It is a, it's like a badge that I hold on to being in
you,
that minority.
You don't have HPV.
We are on a podcast.
Are you slut shaming both Cassie and people with HPV, Jen?
HPV itself needs some representation.
Yeah, I'm sure you have it.
What do you know that men can't get a test to detect it?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Seemingly. That's what I understood from the article, so that it was really annoying. So like she brought this up to him and he was like, well, not me. And there's no way of
proving that it is.
I might be wrong. HPV queens, let us know in the comments. And you're safe here with us. We love you.
True.
We love you so dearly.
But you know what's
great? I was thinking the other day, we should make we should put all the people who are on our Patreon on a close friends list on Instagram.
What to, and oh, do what
fun.
With them?
How will we do that?
We post our little, you just let us know, I don't know, maybe DM us and show us your Patreon and we'll add you to our club. We don't have a close friends list on Instagram and loads of other podcasters do it as a perk.
Oh.
And we can like post behind the scenes things.
I'll have this video of this this amazing video of this Zoom record.
Or
that
you
stuff.
Got that picture I just put on my closies of you with your stupid bottle. They want to see the reality. The
just because you don't have HPV does not give you the right to bully me about my grown ass woman water bottle.
Do you know what I have? I have HPV.
Oh, nice.
Huge so prolapse vagina.
Were you
she's inside out at this point.
I was saying it was too good to not do it.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. we're going to run out of Zoom time because
we should use mine. I have unlimited.
So
well,
do I.
We're going to have to start again.
Zoom.
So let's just shut this down here.
I'll
and
send on
start
a link
up
now.
With Cassis. Bye. That's funny how the clap you can't hear. Does the Zoomy Zoom edit it out?
I think there's a noise gate on Zoom, yeah.
Gotcha.
I think so.
Okay, welcome back in for part two. Will I tell you about the hauntings?
Yeah, let's do it.
A fucking gas story that never crossed my path before. Let me give you the heads up. Have either of you ever heard of the Philip experiment?
No.
No.
Bad, isn't it? So it is an experiment created in 1972. It's a parapsychological experiment conducted in Toronto, and it was to determine whether subjects can finally, once and for all, communicate with fictionalized goats. No, not fictionalized goats. Fictionalized ghosts.
Okay.
Through expectations of humans' will. Are you with me?
They're like, oh, right. Okay. Okay. So there were no ghosts, and they were putting on an experiment to make people believe that they were.
Exactly. And to see what happened.
Or is it ghost characters from movies and books?
It is a fictionalized character created by the scientists. I'll tell you that.
Gotcha.
So the experiment was conducted by a parapsychological research society. Very difficult to say. And it was led by this mathematical let's call him Dr. George, overseen by a psychologist, Dr. Joel. And the test group consisted of George's wife, Iris, she was a former chairperson of Mensa in Canada, and then Joel's wife, Lauren, right?
This seems like just a prank amongst pals.
Yeah, it seems like a good time, a good idea. And it was a fucking great idea. So they also got Bernice in, who was an accountant that lived two doors down. So their goal, create a fictional character through a purposeful methodology and then attempt to communicate with it through seance.
Right. So, okay. I mean, they're asking for trouble here.
Well, truly. they got a fair amount of trouble. So the character they created and they'd all agreed was this guy called Philip Aylesford, and he was fictionalized and they invented his history, and it sort of partially coincided with real events and places. But there was loads of contradictions and errors. He was born in 1624 in England. Early military career. He was knighted at the age of 16. No reason why, just a knighthood. He was involved in the English Civil War. He became personal friends with Charles II and worked for him as a spy. So Philip, again, fake Philip, was unhappily married to a woman called Dorothea and later fell in love with a Romany girl who was accused of witchcraft, burnt at the stake, and Philip was raging about it and died by his own hand in 1654 at the age of 30.
Elaborate, very elaborate little hoax of a guy.
It was elaborate, but they had to kind of really make it, you know, in depth.
They wanted to give him motivation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So they were like, right, let's kick this off and we will go in now to what actually went down. So the seances began in September in 1972. And the group got together and they called them.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sittings. Then they initially were just informal gatherings around a random kitchen table, and they would discuss Philip and his life. They began to sort of meditate on him, and they were trying to visualize a collective hallucination. And to do that, they got more and more, you know, in the weeds about his life and details about him, you know, and his life and his love affair and his suicide. So initially, they were just in one of their kitchens, fully lit room, normal, and there were no results. So occasionally at that time, some of the members felt like they were feeling a presence in the room, but there was no results that they considered were actually communications from Philip. So they were like, we are going to need to take this up a notch. We are going to duplicate the atmosphere of a classic spiritualist seance.
Right.
Imagine that. Gorgeous velveteen curtains, smelly old gaff, candles, all of the stuff. Very dim lighting, so tablecloth, etc. So they did it. They set it up. They had begun to kind of play some sad songs because they thought that, you know, ghosts are
like
sad
music. Well, it sounds like he had a really sad life.
Yeah.
Sorry, just let me put this dog out. She's going
bloody
insane.
Dogs. I'll wait for Cassie to come back as we get into the seance feeling ourselves. Sophia, are you feeling anything in the room with you as we speak?
Well, I am alone without childcare, so there is heavy breathing at the door at all times.
Have you got a listener?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They Lucky. Love to lurk.
Lucky that you've got the headphones on. Otherwise,
I know.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Oh, we were talking in your absence about how Sophie's being haunted right now by heavy breathing at her door. So anyway, back in we go to the seance. So off they got with the sad songs, and they continued the meditation about Philip, talking about him. And would you believe it fucking worked? So during one of the evenings, the group received its first communication from Philip, and it was in the form of a rat-a-tat-tat on the table. Like, kind of fast forward to three seances later, Philip was answering questions, every question asked by the group. One rap for yes, two for no. They knew it was
this
Philip.
This is wild.
Because he said he was Philip.
Who was doing it?
Sophie, we don't know. So the sessions took off from there, and they produced quite a wide range of phenomena that, like, okay, you could explain the wrappings on the table, but some of it could not be explained scientifically. So initially, table wrapping communication, and the group began to learn kind of more finer details about Philip's life. And he seemed at that point, they were like,
this makes no sense. They made it up.
They did.
A ghost was fucking with them, guys.
No, Sophie, the only thing I'm interested in
a
is
a ghost
turns
was
out.
Like, these fucking idiots.
Yeah, they opened a fucking door with their Ouija carry on. And some old freak was like, no, I'm going in there. This fucking dog. Who'd have them? I'll wait for it to come back. You're fucking onto something here. Because also this idea of a collective hallucination and the folly ado again. Like, you can't understate the impact individuals can have on each other. Look at the state of us three. Synced up periods. I'm yet to get HPV, but mere moments away. We're all
I can't
living.
Cass doesn't have it.
I'm keeping this in. She won't listen. Don't rat us out.
Yeah,
we're not slut shaming
the comments,
anyone.
Lads.
It's just some have more fun than others. We'll put it that
exactly.
Way.
All adventurous women have it. I think that's a line from Girls.
Good. Cassie, you back in?
I'm back in. Fill me in there. Sorry, the dog will probably go off again.
So listen.
Go off, dog queen.
We are talking table wrappings, and we're starting, the group are starting to get a kind of more detailed idea about Philip. And they start to get a sense of his personality. They knew sort of what he liked, what he didn't like. You know, he smoked cigarettes. He liked types of music, blah, blah, blah.
He had the Middle Ages. There are no likes and dislikes in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, but he's been around a long time, do you know?
I like love it. The plague.
I like boiling oil. Exactly. Dislike the plague.
Clean water, access to things, harlots.
Harlots. So his spirit was able to, this is where shit gets kind of strange. So we've got the knocking, and we've got enthusiastic knocking, and we've got hesitancy of knocking. So we have a gradient of what his vibes were, his personality. Then shit started moving around. So his, inverted commas, spirit began to be able to move the table. Sliding it side to side, despite the fact that the floor was covered in a thick carpet. And at times, it even was reported it would even dance on one leg. So to me, it's all stuff that any member of the seance party could sort of still be doing because they're touching, they're sitting at the table. But things...
That's on one leg. Well, that's very cool.
It is. Yeah, I guess. Maybe you're right. So
I feel like to bring the weight of the table up onto one leg
would be hard to disguise.
You'd be really visibly doing it.
Unless you were doing it with an appendage and not at all with your hands.
Oh, like there was one little mole.
Somebody's penis had coiled around the leg of the table.
Bernice,
the accountant.
Yeah, she just has brought into fucking shit enough.
Yeah, or just gets bored, as we all remember the sleepovers. So Philip was creating. So Philip that was created was, as we know, just an affectation and did not ever exist and was a creation of the group's collective imagination. And we know that. And although he could sort of accurately answer questions about events and people of his time period, it didn't appear to be information that the group was aware of. In other words, Philip's responses were coming from their subconscious, their own minds. Do you get me? Some members thought they heard whispers in responses to questions, but no voice was ever captured on tape.
Okay.
So Philip's kind of physical manifestations of powers were fairly amazing and unexplained. So if the group asked Philip, for instance, to dim the lights would dim instantly. When they asked him to put the lights back on, they would immediately turn back on. So the table around which the group was sitting was almost always the focal point of the phenomena. Which to me is like, okay, again, we've got to take that with a grain of salt. Exactly. Yeah. So, but then feelings like cool breeze began to blow across the top of the table. If they asked Philip if he could cause it to start and stop the breeze, he could, and he did. So the group began to notice that the table itself felt different to the touch whenever Philip was present. So
and what year are we in again now?
1972.
Was this the big time that everyone was into LSD?
Oh, yeah.
I think half this group thought they were at a car key party and the other half
Bernice,
they were not
for sure. Absolutely.
So the group reported that the table would sometimes be so animated that it would rush over to meet latecomers to the session. The table. And sometimes
the table would.
Yes. And sometimes it could even trap members in the corner of the room.
What a void. We all know the tables.
Oh, yeah. So this experiment was ongoing for a long time and it had to reach some type of conclusion. So the group agreed to organize a seance conducted before a live audience of 50 people. So the session was also filmed as part of a TV documentary. And fortunately, Philip was not stage shy and performed above expectations. So besides the kind of rocking and knocking at the table, other noises around the room started to make themselves, you could hear. And he was at the lights a lot, blinking them on and off.
Very good. That's a classic.
And you couldn't keep him away from the lights. Gone at them.
Actually attained a full levitation of the table.
What?
So it rose about, they said, only about half an inch above the floor. But this was a fairly incredible feat. And it was witnessed by the 50 members of the group in attendance and the film crew. But because of the dim lighting, you couldn't see the actual levitation on the film that was captured. Right. So the film experiment gave the group like loads of crack. And they obviously were having, look, they took it very seriously, and they did kind of, you know, you can watch, I'll put a link to the actual footage that you
Is footage. Amazing.
Yeah, it's gas.
Okay.
Is there good hair? I just want to know that there's good hair.
It's the setup of, it's fucking amazing and well worth the watch, because you can see how seriously some people are taking it, and there are others not taking it so seriously at all. So the question is, like, what the fucking, what did they decide? Like, what was the outcome of the experiment?
The experiment, yeah.
So it was deemed so successful that the Toronto organization decided to try it again with a different group of people and a separate fictional character, right? So after 5 weeks, the new group established contact with their new ghost, Lilith, a French-Canadian spy. And other similar experiments conjured up different entities. There was Sebastian, a medieval alchemist, and Axel, a man from the future.
It's starting to get absolutely unyielding now.
Just getting silly.
Now it's a joke. It's farcical.
A joke. So all of them were fictional and all produced unexplained communication through rapping, like knocks. In Sydney, Australia, a group attempted...
like, yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, exactly. A group attempted a similar test with Skippy. So the Skippy experiment. So there were six participants there, and they created the story of Skippy Cartman. She was a 14-year-old Australian girl. And the group reported that Skippy communicated with them through scratching sounds and through knocks. So, like, what can we conclude... Can we conclude that ghosts are fake as a result? Because we know all of these individuals were figments of people's imagination.
How do they explain things like the levitation? Like, how do they explain any of it?
Either the experiment concludes that all ghosts are fake and a collective hallucination can, you know, it's so suggestive that people can feel they're experiencing things and in fact they're not. Or they're so taken up that their body, outside of their control, begins to move the table and make various knocks, or they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, or like what Sophie said. So the group did in fact contact the spiritual world. Some demonic or playful spirit took the opportunity of these seances to act out Philip, for instance, or Skippy, and produce this kind of phenomenon that was recorded. So I don't know. We don't know, lads. There is no, we don't know. It feels to me like tremendous fun. And I would very much like to try it with the three of us.
But I would not trust you at all in an experiment like that, Jen.
Well, we could make it tamper proof.
How? By excluding you.
No, like sellotaping hands to seats, becoming physical restraint.
Conniving. No way. You'd have it all planned out before.
100% Sophie, that would fuck this. People have been asking us to do Ouija boards for years.
Yeah, but you'd work in cahoots with Sophie. I just don't feel safe around either of you when it comes to this kind of thing, because I can see even through Zoom your mischievous desire to fuck me up, and I shan't have it.
I shan't not.
For all of those asking when we're going to come here, there and everywhere and go and film some real life haunted carry on, can I just introduce you to this is the blockade. Cassie, we need to work on you.
I said I'll do it. I'll do it with the hauntings, with Katie hauntings or okay. KJ hauntings. I'll do it with them. All when right. I know that you guys don't have any involvement.
Oh, rude.
Like the time with the doll, and I was up in the stairs in the studio. It took me weeks to get my heart rate back to normal.
That happened to me as well. In my house. We were all victims of that. Anyway, that's the show. That's our hive for today.
Is it?
What a hive.
It's actually quite short.
Oh, is it? Well, what I was going to do is post the video as well, because whatever.
Will I tell you quickly about the ice latte killing? I'll do it from memory because I was watching this on YouTube, and there's an Asian documentary on Netflix, and I tried to watch it, but sure it wasn't in English and there was no subtitles. So I'm going to tell you the bits that I know from the internet and the bits that I've picked up from watching other people's videos. So great, great fucking story. Basically, there's these two pals. One of them is called Wayna Myrna Salen, but everyone called her Myrna. And then there was her friend. Her friend's name is Jessica. I'm just getting it. Jessica Kamula Wangzo, right? So Myrna and Jessica are both Indonesian. And the story is that Jessica's father imports like chemicals into Indonesia. So he's really, really rich. And Myrna's father imports plastics. So two incredible, like they are the elite of the elite in Indonesia. It's described as being like, most people live on like $4 a day in Indonesia, in Jakarta. And they were like, they just like willy nilly drink like $4 a day coffees. Do you know, like mm-hmm. there was just such a disparity between them and everyone else. So the two girls actually became friendly when they went to college together in Australia. So they both went to abroad for college and they made two other friends. One of their names was Honey. They're not really that particularly relevant to the story. Myrna was in a relationship with this just, you know, regular nice guy. Arif was his name. They've been together for years. And so she was the kind of like more settled friend in the group, had everything going for her. She's beautiful. She's got loads of money. She's smart. She's engaged to this guy, Arif. And Jessica, on the other hand, had a bit of trouble in love. So she had met this man called Patrick, saw a photo of Patrick, big bang of an Irish head off him. Not going to say that he was Irish because I don't know for sure, but she ended up dating Patrick for a while. Thing was, Patrick was a bit of an entrepreneur of illicit substances and
dandruff
and the likes. So
much like Jen.
The relationship was bad, and they had their ups and downs, and they kept breaking up. Until one day they sat down. And I mean, the four girls in college were like really, really close pals. I think Jessica and Myrna were particularly close. And one day Myrna went to meet Jessica and basically was like, this man doesn't have anything going for him. He's a criminal and he's got no capital. You should break up with him and leave him. But this sent Jessica into a rage. She was like, how dare she, you know, tell me that that's how I should live my life. And I mean, I'm embellishing here now, but that's how I imagine she felt. And she then started to kind of like resent Myrna and all her stuff and her niceness and the ease at which she moved through life. Jessica and Patrick did end up breaking up, right? And the breakup was really, really bad. She was hospitalized for several suicide attempts. At one point, she was so drunk, she crashed her car into an old folks home and nearly killed some residents. And as well, she was like, really,
I'm not laughing, but I just did. I'm sorry. I can't.
I mean,
Suck it back inside me.
Put it back in. We'll edit it out. It's the hive. We're really tight. Myrna was having a great time. Jessica was having a bad time. So Jessica also was like really being abusive towards Patrick, sending him loads of like texts, threatening to kill herself, you know, saying that she was going to fuck shit up. Like, so she just has the kind of she has all the signs and symptoms of someone who was going to be a pain in the ass. Give me 2 seconds. Sorry.
A pain in the ass. It sounds like she has the signs and symptoms of someone who's clinically depressed.
Exactly. And also a pain in the ass.
And hates Patrick's old people. Defense.
I mean,
of all the places
that
to
feels
bang
kind
into.
Of pointed, doesn't it? As you're driving, looking for a locale to end it all.
Sorry,
that Sunnyvale retirement home would be your
downfall.
Yeah.
So Jessica, sorry, I just all the signs of someone who's paying the ass. She's all the signs of someone who's a really bad abuser and like has the capacity for violence based on what she's saying in these text messages to Patrick. So anyway, Myrna's living her life and she kind of like senses that Jessica isn't that interested in being her friend anymore or is like resenting her. And Myrna ends up going back to Indonesia. The rest of the girls all go back to Indonesia, except Jessica stays in Australia. And during this time, Myrna gets married to Ariel and Arif and doesn't invite Jessica to the wedding because she doesn't want any drama on her big day.
Mm. Oh,
harsh.
I know.
That is harsh.
And then Myrna's life is just going
everyone wants drama on their big day.
Yeah.
Not this kind
like
of stuff.
Like my favorite
imagine.
Part of my wedding was when a somewhat family member of mine was bodily removed. And they were so drunk that their little feet were dragging along the floor.
Yeah.
As I mean, it was an iconic
play of all time.
Exit.
Name and shame.
I simply cannot.
Mouth it.
A woman
they are
Indonesia.
An actual semi-celebrity, so
I
really
know who it is,
can't.
Then. Oh.
But it was my favorite part of my wedding. It was like the
was
best
Jen.
Wedding gift ever.
It was, Jen.
Everyone wants drama at their wedding.
Yeah, I agree. Bring on the drams. Then what happened?
So anyway, Myrna's life is going on normal. Her and Arif are going off on their honeymoon. They plan to start having kids. She's got a good job. Things are going well for her. Arif is a nice guy as well.
Myrna as well.
No, Myrna's grand. Like, she's not braggy. She's very wealthy, right?
She's just sailing through life.
I mean, yeah, just someone who just seems to move easily through the world. But like, you know, her moving easily through the world does not take away from anyone else's moving through the world. Just live and let live. Anyway, so a couple of years pass and Jessica goes back to Indonesia and they're in Jakarta, I think. They're in like a really nice, they're in Jakarta and they're in this really well-to-do area. And she puts a WhatsApp group together with the three girls from college and she invites them all to go for a coffee. And at first, Myrna is like, I'm not that bothered. Jessica had been so needy when she came back to meet them that she had met Myrna for dinner and had met Arif had come with her. And then she realized that they had gotten married and that was like the first time she had realized they'd gotten married and she wasn't invited to the wedding. So she was in a bad mood. Real bad mood. And then she invited the girls to go for coffee in one of these expensive, fancy, very, very fancy coffee shops. And before she went in, say they were meeting at like 5 o'clock. I think it was around 5 o'clock, half five. And she went into the coffee shop 90 minutes early. So she's seen on CCTV camera going into the coffee shop, very obviously looking around the coffee shop for bits and bobs to see where like this and that is. And she goes out and then she comes back a few minutes later. Or no, she comes back about an hour later with three gift bags. She sits down at a table. She puts the gift bags around and she had texted the girls earlier in the day to know what their coffee order was. She's like, I want to treat you guys to coffee. So she goes up to the counter and she orders a Vietnamese iced coffee for
delicious.
Myrna. Sensational. Two pups. Oh. Shout out. Gorgeous little Vietnamese
what is it,
iced coffee.
It's got
it's
condensed
an iced
milk
coffee
in it.
Sweetened with condensed milk. Oh, it's
I have a friend who makes them every time I see her, Javine.
Oh, the little it's a little treat for the gals. It's one of my favorite treats. So she gets her Vietnamese iced coffee and immediately when Myrna sits down and Jessica's like, here's your drink. She takes a sip, and within the first sip, she's like, oh, this tastes weird. And then you can see her on CCTV footage, head back, she collapses.
No.
So they start this big fuss in the coffee shop. It's like they start kicking up this big like ordeal, except Jessica isn't. She's kind of like standing back, not really doing anything. And she turns around to the staff and she says, what was in her coffee? Jessica says that. Red flag. Immediately. You wouldn't go immediately. Coffee.
You'd be like, she's as having a seizure or heart attack. You're not going, this milky treat has put this woman
you're not going to
arrest.
Assume a poisoning, right? So she says, what was in the coffee? The ambulance is called, but like by the time they're there, she's like, her heart stopped beating. She's foaming at the mouth and she dies. Right?
Drama.
Oh my God.
Dies.
Sorry.
Dead. Drop dead. D-E-D dead.
What did you say, Jen?
Drama.
Drama. No, joking. Obviously, we're sad anyone dies. Everyone will die.
It's far away and it's 2016. So A, it's so significantly in the past. And okay. B, it's really far away and we don't know these people.
Okay.
And it's not, we're not laughing at them. We're laughing at you saying
yes.
Drama. So police are called then. And because Jessica had foolishly said, what's in the coffee? The store manager thinks I best hold on to this coffee. So she hands it over to the police. Now, a couple of days later, comes back that there's a rake of fucking cyanide in the coffee.
Oh my God.
Mm, loads of cyanide in the coffee. But the family had to consent to give an autopsy on Myrna. And when there was an autopsy done, they discovered that there was only not an insignificant amount of cyanide in her system, but like not enough that should have killed her. So the defense started arguing because obviously Jessica is arrested immediately as suspected as poisoning her. Myrna's family in particular turn around and point the finger at Jessica, and Arif, Myrna's husband, is like, it must have been Jessica. There's been resentment growing between the girls for years. Interestingly, then Myrna's family starts saying that Jessica had made sexual advances to Myrna when they were in college and she had been rejected, and that was part of the problem. And that Jessica was just like, this could not be happy for her friend moving on with her life. So all fingers pointed to Jessica. But the autopsy revealed that there wasn't that much cyanide in her system. So the defense started arguing that she could have died of natural causes. The family then didn't consent for the autopsy to be allowed to be used in court in the trial. So when it went to trial, all the evidence was circumstantial. So you had the CCTV footage of her acting suspiciously. You have her up around the table with the three gift bags on the table. And you have the fact that her father is an importer of chemicals into Indonesia, and she has the knowledge of Indonesia, as well, I guess, as the testimony of Patrick and her ex Patrick, that she had this kind of propensity for violent thoughts. A psychological evaluation then is done on Jessica, and it's determined that she is a narcissist and that she just has this like main character syndrome and could not, for the love of God, be happy for Myrna. So ultimately,
get her a podcast.
Yeah.
Channel some of that.
She was found guilty. And in 2016, 2017, she was sentenced to 20 years in prison in Indonesia. She still maintains her innocence. And it really split the public because they broadcast the trial live. And because of the girls' position in society, and also because they have these like soap operas over there that people are obsessed with. Can you hear that dog just absolutely wandering around?
Yeah. But
people,
if you're listening, that's what that sound is.
If anyone would care for a golden retriever, or like just someone to like maybe co-parent her. I don't know. Anyway, she was found guilty, 20 years in prison, still maintains her innocence, says she did not kill her bestie. But it really divided the nation because they broadcast the whole thing live.
And so what was the nation that we're thinking that she's innocent thinking?
So some people think that she was just, it's been pinned on her. There was like the theories that it was because of the two warring families that she had been set up. And I think people who just did not like Myrna or did not like the wealth that they had were saying,
we're saying she's a scapegoat. God.
Essentially. So there is a documentary about it called it's like Iced Coffee and Killings or something.
Real catchy name.
It actually was a good game. What is it called? I found a link for it anyway, but it wasn't. There was no subtitles on it. I'm sure there's ways and means to watch it. But so the arguments, I suppose, in her defense were that Myrna's family seemed to were so set on making her the murderer.
Mm.
And there was the defense argued that Arif had worked in cahoots with the barista to murder her because he wanted her life assurance policy.
Oh, yeah, because Arif like jumped on pretty fast as well.
And the whole backstory of the, you know, of Myrna telling Jessica to leave Patrick came from Arif.
So interesting.
He was the only one who really provided any sort of motive.
Fascinating.
Mm.
Thanks, Cass. Just
and if you careful. Had someone in your life that was kind of chaotic, you'd be like, okay, I'll put that person in the back pocket. Might use them in the future for something like this.
Would you know?
Well, I am that chaotic person, unfortunately. So I presume I'm residing in many back pockets. That's
I wouldn't go murdering. Oh yeah, ice cold murder coffee and Jessica Wangzhou is the documentary.
That's a good name. Thanks, Cass, and thank you to our hivers.
Thank you, patrons.
We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye, everyone. Person.
Have a great weekend.
Take
care. Anybody who has had the kids home from school for the last 9 years. Godspeed, we're nearly there. We're nearly there.
And be careful who you go for an iced coffee with because you can't trust nobody.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.